All right, we're going to talk about still being a carrier of the presence of God. Man, when I just say that, it's just like, whoa, I want to talk deep, you know. I mean, there's something about that. There's an essence of being a carrier of the presence. And when you recognize that God has chosen you to be the carrier of the presence of God into your situation, into your family, there is no reason for any person to be discouraged over your family here tonight. There is no reason. I don't care how far from God your family may be, seem to be. There is no reason to be discouraged, because God can use you to be the carrier of the presence of God. It's not dependent on their willingness or their rebellion. It's dependent on the presence of God. The presence of God can melt the hardest of hearts. Amen? And, you know, Jesse Duplantis and Kathy, they have such a powerful testimony along that line. Jesse was such a renegade. You've all heard him talk about it. And Kathy, for years, she lived with him in that sense. He was like a drunk. He would just out all the time, and he would come in on his drunken stupors, and he would just pile in bed, and he'd be gone for days, and then he would come in. But Kathy got put something in her heart that she believed that change could come and God could use her, that she could be a carrier of the presence of God into Jesse's life. And when Jesse would come in and fall out from his drunken stupor on that bed, Kathy would immediately take her hands and lay it on Jesse. And then through that night, she was interceding for the power of God, for her to be a channel or a carrier of the presence of God to flow through her into Jesse. I'm going to tell you what, that's powerful. Because now it wasn't an instantaneous, and there was a reason for that. You have to understand, there's always a reason. You can trust God. If things are not happening quickly, you can trust God. If you're believing, now if you're in the la-la land of doubt and unbelief, then it's your fault. I mean, no one should be there. But there's reasons why, and the process of it is, God knew that Jesse was going to have to be birthed in such a great, powerful way to break the addictions and the bondages off of his life. God also knew that he had a great, great calling for Jesse. So Jesse couldn't just mosey up one day and get saved and mosey up one day. It couldn't happen like that. It was confrontation with evil. And so Jesse knew that. Kathy knew that. And so Kathy interceded, that channel of intercession, that carrier of the presence of God. It becomes, the person is no longer involved. It becomes a pressure point. You're not even involved. When you become the carrier of the presence of God, a channel of God, it becomes a confrontation of God and the enemy. And so the enemy pulls up his huge bulldozer to confront and to stop. But I'm going to tell you what. God shows up in his too. Amen. And that confrontation of evil, that confrontation, and a lot of times as a carrier of the presence of God, that being that channel of God, you have to apply faith pressure and be relentless. You can't release it for a moment. I mean, as you begin to flow in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to move you into intercession, and the gift of intercession begins to flow through you, you're going to find out how to sense those things. Your gift will quicken, and your gift will. But there is points of intercession. I remember the first time that the Holy Spirit used me in the gift of intercession. Well, really, it was two times that I remember it right there at the very first. Now, intercession, I love it. I love it so much when the Holy Spirit moves, because it becomes this constant. Your insides get tight. I can't explain it. you draw such a tightness inside here, and you can sense God will not quit pushing. And you can sense that God is pushing evil out. And you intercede, and a person that moves in intercession is not a quick 10-minute prayer, do you? You stay in that intercession until you can literally, you can sense it. You can sense evil give up. And then you hit it again. And then evil will give up. And then you'll hit it again with that strength. I tell you, and sometimes you may stay as much as an hour intense. And I don't see how anybody could even hardly stand it much longer than that. But when you're used by the Holy Spirit and to intercede a person, you're pulling them out of the very hold of death and hell. And in those moments, everything in you, the first time I experienced that was when I had not been filled with the Holy Spirit but a short length of time. And I was at the church I was attending at that time. They had a Saturday evening prayer meeting. Very few attenders. It was probably like maybe four or five that would attend. And so I just would go normally to the Saturday evening prayer meeting. And that evening, man, this hit me. I didn't even understand it. But if you've got loved ones, you need to pray that the Holy Spirit would use you. That gift of intercession, some things may have to be birthed for your loved one to be able to break free. And it's just like birth pangs that's going on. It's just like you can tell that the Holy Spirit is giving birth to something. It's, like I said, I've never had a physical baby, but I've had a lot of spiritual ones, all right? And it's just like every part of you is so intensified in that battle. I mean, it's nothing physical, but it's physical. It's the spiritual moving in the area of the physical. You can sense it in every fiber of your being. You can sense that confrontation with that evil. The first time that happened, it was there in Texas, and I was attending that Saturday evening prayer meeting with my pastors. And when I did, all of a sudden it came over me, and man, it began to move out of me. I had no idea. I'd had no idea prayer could do that to you. But it was being able to pray in the Holy Spirit is stimulated usually by being able to pray in tongues, because you can't figure those things out with your mind. And so the Holy Spirit moves you into that. And so I began to just intercede, and it lasted for a long period. I'd say that first time probably 30 or 45 minutes, it seemed like. But all of a sudden, when evil was overcome, there was an immediate sense of release inside me. It was like you've experienced intercession, you know, it's like you're exhausted. And everything in you has been used, spirit, soul, and body, has been used in that confrontation evil. And that's when I left and I went out of there, and Shirley called me. And Shirley began to explain a situation that had been happening with my mother. At that time, my mother had not accepted the Lord. And experience was, she was down in Florida in a little trailer with a man that was trying to kill her. I had no idea any of that was going on, because during that period of time, I was not able to talk to my mother. We had no communication with her. And so, but that night was the night of this intense battle. He was trying to kill her. My mother, though, being in a little trailer, so frightened there, alone, down there, God sent a little bird. And a little bird came and lit outside her window at night now. And the bird started chirping. What my mother heard was, Jesus loves you. If you'll give your heart to me, I'll be able to save you. She heard that from a bird chirping. That's the kind of stuff intercession would do. If you will allow yourself to be moving into the deeper intercession with the Holy Spirit, God will be able to birth. Second time I remember that happening, that I had just started I just started pastoring. I was pastoring down at Luann. I think it was on a Saturday afternoon. And some people were coming by the church. Some of them I knew, some of them I didn't. But there was this one young lady I was so happy, wasn't anything, everything was grand. This one young lady, she approached me. She was like everything. I just greeted her. Everything was fine. She turned, and when she turned, that gripping power, I fell to my knees. And for the next 30 to 45 minutes, I could do nothing but cry out. That deep intercession, that deep praying in tongues that goes beyond words at times. It goes into grunts and sounds. I mean, it's really birthing a miracle. What I found out was that young lady was a runaway. People were crying out for her. I had no idea. God knew. And God wanted that little girl back home. And so God used me in that moment. God needs people on earth to pray. And when some things are so deep that English words won't handle it. And so you have to allow the Holy Spirit to carry you in to the deeper things of God. Now, is that biblical? Is it scriptural? Intercession? Sure it is. Spiritual intercession, certainly scriptural. Is it biblical? Sure it is. The same thing that Jesus in the garden. Jesus prayed with such vehement prayer that blood veins started bursting. That's the way spiritual intercession is. Spiritual intercession is so powerful your body almost cannot stand up under the load of it. But your body is working with it. Jesus, they're praying in the garden. The Bible says that his prayers became so intense. That was spiritual intercession. That he began to sweat drops of blood, literally. And if you've been involved, how many of you have been in spiritual intercession? You know kind of what I'm talking about. When you've been in that, you feel like that. You feel like every vein is going to burst. Everything in you is pulled to that. But there's different things that you sense when you're in that type. Shirley is given very easily to that type of intercession. Shirley has interceded for me on so many times. But in that moment, you're experiencing several things. One thing that you're experiencing, though, you can sense God's power, the confrontation of evil. And you can sense it's almost like two bulldozers facing each other. And you're interceding and you have the faith to believe. Your faith is in operation with this all the time. And you can literally sense evil give up. That's why the Bible says resist him. And what will he do? He will eventually what? He eventually gives up. See, he eventually runs. And then other times it's like you're pulling. You're engaged in this deep pull. It's like you hold to this rope that is so big, and you're just deeply, you can feel it so down, and you're like you're deeply pulling. And the Bible says that we draw waters out of the what? The wells of salvation. Yeah, there is this deep pulling. That deep begins to call to deep, and at those moments you continue that intercession. There will become. A young lady just told me this morning, is Christina here tonight? Christina, do y'all know Christina? A young lady that goes to church here? I can't think of, what's Christina's last name? Somebody help me. She's a little girl, about this tall, about this wide. And she drives 18-wheelers all the time. In the morning at 3 o'clock, she'll be up rolling. She drove her 18-wheeler here to the church today. She was just filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit the other day. And so she came to me. She came to me Wednesday night. And Christina's so sweet. She's so little short. You would never put her. She always dressed dainty. You'd never put her in 18-wheeler. You'd never put her there. I mean, without all your furthest imagination, you would never put her there. But that's what she does. And so she came to me Wednesday night. She said, "Brother Jerry," she said, "fine." I knew that when she was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord gave her one word. That's not uncommon. What was your word? Rudebecker? Rudebecker. What? Ka, mula, ka. Well, my first word, see, it's just like a baby's learning to speak. My first word was na, N-A. And I tell you what, I went around with my little na. That's all I had in the Holy Spirit. I went around, I nod, nod here, and nod, nod there, here, nod there, nod everywhere, nod, nod. I mean, I nod everywhere I could. But I knew it was increasing. I knew the Lord was just like a baby. He was teaching me and training me. So Christina had received it like that. She had received one little word. Oh, man. I was up at Sunday night before last. I was up at Pine Bluff. And so we were praying for people up at Pine Bluff. And, you know, Zeke, that's my little grandson. And how old is Zeke, somebody says? Probably, what, 8 years old, something like that? Yeah, 8 years old. And so we had prayer people with Zeke. Zeke's always precise. Nothing emotional about Zeke. Everything. Right. So he walked down there that night and he said, I want my word. I want my word. Oh, my word. So different ones prayed for him. And in just a moment, he said, "Got my word." He went to school the next day. "Got my word. You got your word." I mean, it's so hilarious. I just love the way the Holy Spirit does things. It's so sweet and neat. And so anyway, Christina liked that. She got a word. And so she had talked to me. She said, "Jerry," she said, "I just want, you know, I want my word to expand." And she said, I just want to be able to pray in tongues. I'm not only just want a word. I said, "It's coming. So you be faithful. What God gives you, you be faithful. Lord will." And then she'd come in here last Wednesday night. Man, was she ablaze. She was blazed. Man, her face was... I told her today, I said, "Your face does not look like the same girl that came here and gave her heart to the Lord. Don't even look like the same person." And, but she, the other night, she says, "I was driving my truck, you know, I was driving my truck." And said, "I was using my word." And said, "All of a sudden, this gushed out of me." She said, "All this started gushing out of me." And she said, "I knew I was fighting one minute, and another minute I was doing something else." She said, "I could feel it. I could feel it in me. I could feel it going out of me." I said, "Yep, that's it. That's it. That's it." And boy, and so today, she was back, and she said, "Oh, Brother Jerry, man, it's so good. It's still happening to me. It's just gushing out of me. It's just gushing out." Praise God. So wherever we are, we let the Lord continue that work on. Amen. And I have no idea where we started with this again tonight. But but being a carrier of the presence. But we learn in those situations, we have the power. God helps us. It's His power. His power. That we have the power to really make a difference. So many times people think that Christians are just miserable and they get to go to heaven when they die. You know, that's not God has given you the power to make a difference. You can make a difference in your own life, and you can make a difference in other people's lives. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. So what you want to become, you want to be a carrier of the presence of God. You want to learn how to let the Holy Spirit use you as a channel into situations, into as intercession, as that however the Holy Spirit is wanting to pray a prayer of faith or whatever you want. And the Holy Spirit, see, that's God making a difference. I mean, while God do something, He's trying His best to. He's literally trying His best to. Somebody said, why don't God do something? God's trying His best to. His best is you. His best is you. And so, God's trying His best to make a difference in this world. He's trying His best to make a difference in our community and in our families and in our lives. But it will take a cooperation. It will take me realizing these are the hands of Jesus. These are the feet of Jesus. This is the mouth of Jesus. Because sometimes in the Holy Spirit, I always saw it. I feel like in every situation, God will give you a whip. Who the other day I was talking to, and they had, I said, you know what that is, man? God gave you the whip. God gave you a whip. In every situation, God will give you the whip. See, the Bible says that the devil goes around as a roaring lion. Well, whenever you see a lion tamer, what's he use to get that rascal back where he's supposed to be? He uses a whip. God will give you a whip. Now, I found out what his whip... Oh, George, it was you. We was the ones that were talking. And the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and said, walk. Gave him one word. Walk. 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 That's what God told him. And so him and Sister Lee, they got out on this certain particular situation that was looked bad at that point. And they walked around it. They said, God put it in my heart then to walk around it. God tell me to walk around it 7 times. You know, today they've been telling me the marvelous miracle that has transpired from them walking around. It totally changed some people's lives. God will give you a whip. God will usually come along and He'll give you one word. And you say, oh, I ain't getting nothing. I'm not just talking about a word in tongues. I'm talking about God will give you a whip that will control that hour. And He'll give you a whip that will control that circumstance. And what you do, you hear God. That's why it's just so important. However God talks to you, you hear the Lord. And whatever God tells you, you are His mouthpiece. What God's trying to do is get something into this earth that can control the situation. God can't do it. He's trying His best to, and you're His best. You're His best. You're His best. And God's trying His best. And God's trying His best, and you're His best. And so God's trying His best. Say, why won't God do something about my family? Why won't God something do something? Well, God's trying His best to, and you're His best. And so God comes along, and it's all, and sometimes it's not rational. Sometimes it's just completely, completely, completely spiritual. The God will come along and He'll give you a control, a whip. And what it usually is with me, it usually is one word. And I know from past history with the Lord that God's needing that word to be spoken out into earth. That's what's going to bring heaven to earth. God needs the word, and the way that God's going to control it is usually with me, it's with the word. And so what God will usually do to me, He'll come to me if I'm in a situation and He'll give me a word. He may say, glory. I know that's from the Holy Spirit. It may be that simple. I will walk around all that day using that word in faith with anticipation that that one word alone can control that situation. Remember what the centurion servant said? Remember his servant was sick? He said, Jesus, just speak a word. Just a word. If you would just speak a word, that's what he told him. If you would just speak a word, it will control my situation. But not this, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit does it a lot of different ways. This is just one. I'm just talking about one avenue. But always what the Holy Spirit will give you will be a word of faith. He'll never say sadness. Willie, Barbara, you're so wonderful in your beautiful expression of praise. He'll never come around and say, sadness. But he'll give you a word that will take faith. It'll take faith for you to exhibit that word and share that word in the midst of your dilemma. But if you would just do as the Holy Spirit directs, the Holy Spirit knows how to bring victory into every situation all the time. Amen? And the secret is to just listen to the Holy Spirit, believing whatever it is that God is telling you. Lord, you don't understand. My eyes are messed up. Let me put a little mud in your eye. Now go wash in the pool of Siloam. I mean, Jesus used supernatural, what we would call in the rational world, crazy things. A lot. Where do you think he got that? Do you think Jesus just said, well, I've been sitting here, I've wanted to try some mud in somebody's eye. You think it? No. He was hearing from the Holy Spirit. He was hearing in the Holy Spirit. He knew God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, gave him a whip into that situation. That whip was, go wash in the pool of Siloam, or the smud in your eye. You understand? Sometimes it doesn't make any sense. But don't you know, God just loves it when we love him. I love what David said, don't you? When David, Bill, you're going to have to help me here. When David brought back the presence of God, you know how it was? When David brought back the presence of God, when he brought back the ark, he was the one that gave the direction for this. And we're going to study, we're going to try to study all the points and ins and outs of that in this process of this study. But when David brought back, he had this done. When he got the ark back there to the tent that he had built for it and got everything into place, David was wildly dancing. He started off dancing in priest's garments. I love David's heart, man. He took off the priest's garments and under it was just the regular old garb of a regular old person. And he says, now, Lord, as a regular old person, I'm just going to worship you. And then you know what Micah did, you know, his wife. But it wasn't recorded as his wife there. It's recorded as Saul's daughter because she was like her dad. And so she said, you're making a mockery. Making a mockery. And what did David tell him, Bill? What was David's answer to that? Yes. David said, I will act more foolishly than this. I worship my God. Amen. One version says, I love Bill, it says, I will embarrass myself in worshiping God. Hallelujah. Amen. I will embarrass myself. See, embarrassment sounds terrible to a person that has no confidence in God. But if your confidence in God, it doesn't matter how you're embarrassed. Do you understand what I'm saying? It does not matter. Because you know God is going to be the lifter of your head. See? So that's why when God can speak what we would consider a foolish word, go wash in the pool of Siloam, let me put a little mud in your eye. Well, now, what would you do, Reggie, if Ellen said, let me put a little mud in your eye? Well, she's threw a few mud clods at me before. But see, that's why God is looking for people that's willing to look foolish for him. Because see, as long as you fear people, you'll never fear God. You've got to come to a place in your life. If you're going to allow the Holy Spirit, if you're going to be the Holy Spirit's agent on earth, you've got to come to a place to where the fear of man will not have as much control over your life that it would be able to snuff out the Word of God coming to you. You've got to come to a place. None of us want to be embarrassed. None of us want to go through that. Unless. Somebody say unless. Unless is a word from God. And then at a word from God, we're willing to be highly embarrassed. Amen. 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 Well, it's time to close. It's just good to be in the presence of the Lord tonight. I want to ask the Lord tonight to give us some... I want the Lord to allow the desires of Him to work. There's some things that God is wanting to be... that's going to start doing that I have no idea of. There are some things that I've got little glimpses of that I don't know nothing about yet. But God is going to begin to build those that are going to be carriers of His presence. God is going to begin to build a desires in your heart. And I would not in any way try to tell you what those desires would be. But it's what God wants for you. And you've got to let Him build that desire. You've got to ask God, Lord, stir up your desire in me. I love what Nehemiah had when God stirred up Nehemiah's desire in the book of Nehemiah, when God stirred up his heart to set God's people free. And you remember he got up in the middle of the night. He said, because God has put this desire in my heart, I had to do something with it. That's what happens. You want God to stir up the desire in your heart to where you have to do something with it. Amen. And so, I tell you that God is dreaming good dreams. And God is dreaming. Go ahead and start me. We're going to pray. Gary, if we would up there. We're going to pray in our clothes here just for a moment. We've got about 6 minutes. We're going to probably pray about 4 minutes here. And I'm going to ask God tonight to stir up His desire in you. And you know, you may start off at having a desire. Because you may be so discouraged over areas of your life that God's first got to help you and heal that discouragement. Then to begin able to begin to build the desire. But there's not a one of us tonight that God does not desire for us to have His desires. God desires us. So why don't we just close by asking the Lord that. Lord, I ask You that You would stir up, Lord, the desire, Lord, Your desires in me.